Okay, good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for accommodating the change in schedule this week. I assume many of you are signed up for tomorrow's OU Kashrus seminar, so we will not be having shir tomorrow, but today we'll make up for tomorrow, Bez Hashem. So we are going to continue discussing the Dvar Mishah Avil Asrbehem, the various halachos that an Avil is not allowed to do. So we are up to She'elas Shalom. So that same Braisa that told us in Daf Tezvav about all of the things that an Avil is not allowed to do tells us that an Avil is also be She'el HaShalom, and it's derived from the Pasuk in Yecheskel, HaNikdom, that an Avil is also to be Shoel B'Shalom Acherim. We discussed this a little bit yesterday, that an Avil has to have a certain sense of silence, a certain lack of connectedness with other people. So the Gemara in Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis in Meseches Moed Katan tells us that Amar Avidi Baravin, who shoel b'shalom acherim? Sha'acherim shruyim b'shalom. That the Avil is actually allowed to be shoel b'shalom of other people because they are b'shalom. They're in a state of shalom. But acherim ain't shoelim b'shalomo, shehu ain't shari b'shalom. But they're not allowed to be shoel b'shalomo of the Avil because he is not in a state of shalom. So that inyan of not being shari b'shalom, the Badei HaShulchan, the Simon Shin Pehei, Sifkat Nalef writes that it's like you're mocking him because you know that he's not b'shalom, and others say that no, it's not that you're mocking him, it's that there's midas hadin metucha alav, which we're going to see, there's Yerushalmi like this, that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, that for the entire 12 months after the loss of the relative, he's got midas hadin, going against him, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's punishing him, so that's why he doesn't have shalom. So the Gemara goes through a number of details when it comes to this din of being shol b'shalom. The Gemara tells us that the first 3 days it's usher for him to be shol b'shalom acherim, and if other people don't know that he's an avil and they are shol b'shalomo, he should not even respond in kind. He should not say aleichem shalom. He should say, he should just let them know that he's an avil, that he had just lost a relative in the last couple of days. From Yom Gimel ad Yom Zayin, from day 3 until day 7, he's not allowed to be shoel b'shalom acherim, but if other people who do not know that he's an avel are shoel b'shalomo, he's allowed to be meshiv, he's allowed to respond in kind. From Yom Zayin until Yom Lamed, he's allowed to be shoel b'shalom acherim, but it's also for them to be shoel b'shalomo. So, and clearly, if the other people don't know that he's an avel, so obviously he's allowed to be meshiv in such a case, because he's even allowed to be meshiv from day 3 to day 7. And if someone is mesabel alav v'imo, you shouldn't be shoel b'shalomo for yud beis chodesh. That's what the Gemara says as far as the breakdown of the timing of shoel of sheila shalom. So again, there are two separate isurim over here. There's the Isser of him being Shol B'Shalom Acherim, which relates to his limitations we place on his socializing with other people, on his connecting with other people, and his sense of silence throughout his Avelus. And then there's other people being Shol B'Shalomo, which is not really based on that. It's more based on the fact that it's like it's Kilo Eglo. It's like they're mocking him because they know that he's not in a state of Shalom, that he's in a state of being unsettled and distraught. Now the Darkei Moshe, the Raman, Darkei Moshe in Os Beis, writes in the name of the Kolbo that if it's Asur B'Sheil HaShalom, then it's Kol Shekein, that it's Asur LaHarbos B'Dvarim, that it's to be overly social. And again, that's the idea. That's derived from not the Isser of other people to be Shol B'Shalomo, but from his Isser to be Shol B'Shalomam, because that's about limiting one's social connections. The in Yalkut Yosef, he quotes that the basis for the Isser is that b'toch Zayin it's also for the Avil to be shol b'shalom acherim because of a chiv shtika, right? That's what the pasuk tells us. Hanikdom. That's what we learn from Yecheskel. It's a chiv shtika. But after Shiva, he could be shol b'shalom acherim because that's where the chiv shtika ends. The fact that others are not allowed to be shol b'shalomo, that's a different halacha. That's the din of kilo eglo, that they're mocking him. So those are just important when we go through the sugya. because otherwise it would be confusing to just realize these are two entirely separate dinim. Then the Gemara quotes a Maisa. The Gemara tells us that Rabbi Akiva's children died, and Kol Yisrael came to greet Rabbi Akiva, and he to comfort Rabbi Akiva, and he was maspid a hespid gadol at the time of their patira, and Rabbi Akiva got up on a safsal gadol, he saw a chenu beis Yisrael, and he gave a whole speech, and he says, v'kolishkein shescharchem kafel l'chul bateichem l'shalom. And he concludes by saying, okay, everyone dismissed, but l'chul bateichem l'shalom. So the Gemara says, well, how's he allowed to do that? It's an isser for an avel to be shol b'shalom echerim. So the Gemara says, kavod harabim, that for the sake of kavod harabim, he was allowed to do that. So if you look in Shulchan Aruch, in Simen Shin Pei Hei, Din Shela Shalom. So the Shulchan Aruch says, Avalasa B'Shela Shalom Ketzer, it goes through the breakdown of the days, and the Shulchan Aruch goes on to say, by Medvar yeah, the Ramah quotes the idea of Umeachar Shasu B'Shela Shalom Kolshkein Shasu LaHarbos B'Dvarim, that you're not allowed to be overly talkative. Vim Osa the Kavod Rabim Kigon Sharabim Ba'im LeNachemo. If you have a Rabim that came to be Menachemim, Mutter Lomer Lehem L'Chul Bateichem L'Shalom to the Kavod Rabim Shari, then you're allowed to do it. That's straight from the Gemara. Okay, so that's what the Ramah writes. So that's what the Rama writes. And Lechora, he's also allowed to be marbe b'dvarim lekavod menachemim, and that's why Avelim, typically when they're sitting Shiva, are talking all day, because that's an exception to this Isser. So even though the Isser of an Avel to be shol b'shalom is expanded to include not only Shela Shalom, but being overly talkative, but when people are coming dafka for the purpose of being menachem, so we suspend this halacha, just like we suspend the halacha of Seischem l'shalom, we also suspend the halacha of him being able to converse with them, and that's why he doesn't have to sit the entire time b'shtika, and that's typically what an avel does. He converses with all the people that come. In Yalkut Yosef and Simon Yadalit, he says that it's mutter for other people to be shoel b'shalom zeh ezeh in the beis ha'avel after the mace is already nikbar, because the yisra of Amir Shalom is only for the avel himself. In Evel Rabasi, it says that you're not allowed to be shoel b'shalom zeh ezeh in the city. So Shulchan Aruch and Shin Mem Gimel Sif Bei says, yeah, that means before the mace is actually buried. So the Aruch HaShulchan and Shin Mem Gimel Sif Dalet and in Shin Pei Hei Sif Dalet says that it's aser for people who are not avelim to be shoel b'shalom hadadi b'beis ha'avel. So he understands that more literally, and that it's not only talking about during the aninos before the kvura. So this is a fundamental machlokas achronim. Again, machlokas achronim, do we assume that the yisur of Shela Shalom extends to the base ha'avel as well? Is that a din in the base ha'avel, or is it only a din in the avelim? One could argue that that if the issue is one of kiloeglo, meaning we had two possibilities before, right? Is it that it's like you're mocking the avel, or is it simply that midas hadin is metucha alav, that he's suffering through midas hadin? So how can you be shol b'shlomo? So one could argue that if it's a din in mocking him, so to be shol b'shlom other people right in front of his face might also be a problem. But if it's midas hadin metucha alav, then maybe it's not a problem to be shol b'shlom acherim in front of him. Shulchan Aruch and Shin Sadi Dalet Siv Dalet, based on Yerushalmi in third parak Moed Katan, tells us that the entire year it's cherev metucha k'neged osa mishpacha v'im nolad ben zachar b'osa mishpacha nisrapes kol ha'mishpacha. This is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. I mentioned one of the earlier shiurim. This is something that people find, in my experience, people find very comforting, that when a baby is born into the family, sometimes shortly after the patira, so it's always kedai to point out to them that the Yerushalmi says, that the Shulchan Aruch says, that this is mamish quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, that kol shosh yom yira avel ki ilu cherev munachas lo ben ksefav, mishlosh evat shiva ki ilu zakov kenegdo bekeren zavis, mishiva evat shloshim kilu averis lefav b'shuk, v'kol osa hashana adin metucha keneged osa mishpacha, v'im nolad ben zachar b'osa mishpacha nisrapes kol ha'mishpacha. So a halach in Shulchan Aruch, that if a baby boy is born into that family, so it's a refuah for the entire mishpacha. So in Yalkut Yosef in Siman Yodalit in footnote Dalit, he says that Rav Avadya says, what's going on over here? Rav, why would the Shulchan Aruch just quote this idea that there's an idea that there's no midas hadin anymore? There's got to be a halachic nafkamina to this idea. What's the nafkamina la halacha that there's no midas hadin? So Rav Avadya was mechadish that of Nolad ben Zachar in the mishpacha that the Isser of Sheila Shalom goes away. Because now Nisrapes HaMishpacha and he's Shari B'Shalom. So now the Isser of Sheila Shalom of the Avel, to be Shol B'Shalom, the Avel would go away because now he's no longer Midas Adin Metuchalav, now he is Shari B'Shalom. And it could be the Isser of him being Shol, the Isser of them being Shol B'Shalomo would go away. Not him being Shol B'Shalom Achayim, but them being Shol B'Shalomo. And he says that when Rav Avadya sat Shiva for his father, Rav Shlomo Zalman came to be Menachem Avel, and Rav Avadya asked this Shaila. He said, he asked Rav Shlomo Zalman, once he had an audience, Rav Shlomo Zalman, so you can imagine Rav Avadya Yosef asking a Shaila to Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach. He said, what do you think? Is this perhaps what the halachic nafkamin is? And Rav Shlomo Zalman was not to lahachmir. He did not think that we could rely on such a svara. But if you look in the Tshuva Salmas Chaim, Simin Tav Chav Hei, Rav Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld, he writes that it's mutter to say mazel tov to an avel if they give birth, if their wife gives birth to a baby boy, even during the shiva, because Nisrapes Kol HaMishpacha when a Ben Zachar is born. So two things you see from there. Number one, you see from there that he holds that generally it's also to say mazel tov, which is not so pasha. We'll get into that in a moment. That Rav Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld thought being shol b'shalom includes saying mazel tov. But even though he holds that it's generally also to say mazel tov, he holds that there's a like Rav Avadya thought that once Ben Zachar is born into the mishpacha, so then that iser goes away. The iser of Sheila Shalom goes away. So then the question becomes: okay, what is Sheila Shalom? You ever call up an avel to be Menachem Avel on the phone? So very often they'll pick up the phone, they'll say yes, you know, instead of saying hello. So is that a thing? Meaning, is that a violation of Sheila Shalom? So Darkei Moshe in Os Aleph writes that the fact that people are Shoel B'Shalom Avelim after Shiva nowadays, meaning did you ever hear of someone who's not, doesn't greet a person after Shiva normally? If you look in the Gemara and you look in the Shulchan Aruch, it sounds like it goes for all Yud Beis Chodesh. So Darkei Moshe writes that people do it because they must hold that Sheel HaShalom that we are knowing nowadays is not really the Sheel HaShalom that the Gemara was talking about. But he says, Be'emes L'mashmakein, it doesn't really sound that way, but that must be what people rely on, that our Sheila Shalom is not the real Sheila Shalom, and therefore, after Shiva, everyone's makel on it. So the Rama in Shulchan Aruch quotes that the Rama doesn't quote quite that far. The Rama writes, V'yesh mekilin inna b'Sheila Shalom ha'avel la'achar lamed, that there are those that are makel nowadays after Shloshim to be Shoel b'Shalom. Vein tam lehem, im lo shechilkul lomer, shezeh mashan unog, im lo mikri Sheila Shalom, shebimeyem, and there's no real good svarah for it, unless you're going to say our Sheila Shalom is not the same as their Sheila Shalom. So the Shach in Siv Katan Gimel, where is it? The Shach says, not Siv Katan Gimel, Sivkatan Beis, ube'emes ein ze tam nachon, dimkein toch laminami. He said, where would the chiluk come that it's dafka la'achar shloshim? If what we do is not called Sheila Shalom, then betok shloshim it should also be. Mehechitesh that we should be mechalik between tok shloshim and la'achar shloshim. So the pashtus is, if you look in Darkei Moshe, he was not mechalik between tok shloshim and la'achar shloshim. In Darkei Moshe, he was mechalik between Toch Shiva and Liachar Shiva. So it really seems to be that it's about that, that it's really about the Shiva, about the Chiluk and the Shiva, and not a Chiluk between before Shloshim and after Shloshim. In the Elia Rabbah, in Simen Tavkof Nundalit, in Aruch Chaim, in Ilchus Tishbav, he says on Tishbav everything is Asr because it's no different than an Avel Toch Lamid, where everything is Asr. I mean, clearly he's following the Ramah over here and not the Darkei Moshe. that it's about Shloshim and not about Shiva. And the Aruch HaShulchan writes that the Svara of the Rama is Shayich even B'toch Shloshim, and therefore we should be Mekel even B'toch Shloshim but Liachar Shiva, because our Sheila Shalom is different, and therefore during Shiva we're not willing to be Mekel, but after Shiva we are willing to be Mekel. And that seems to be the overwhelming minhag, that even though really it whatever the svara is, if our Sheila Shalom doesn't count as Sheila Shalom in whichever direction, him being Shol Bishlom Acherim, other people being Shoel Bishlomo, nevertheless, if it's not a Sheila Shalom, it shouldn't apply at all. Well, him being Shol Bishlom Acherim should still apply, because he has a din of shtika, right? That's a din in socializing. But other people being Shoel Bishlomo, really, if whatever they're doing is not really called Sheila Shalom, then it shouldn't matter whether it's during Shiva or after Shiva, or after Shloshim. But the minig is that we're machmir about this during Shiva, we're mekel after Shiva, probably because by being Shol Bishlomo, it's promoting a certain sense of socializing on his side. Meaning, even though you have the additional reason of not being Shol Bishlomo during Yibes Chodesh, because he's not Shari Bishalom, and because Loeg Lo, you're mocking him, or Midas Hadin Metucha Alav, things of that nature, but there's also the issue of being too social with him, because you're promoting him being too social. So maybe that's the only issue that's left Bizman Hazeh, meaning maybe this Svara that the Darkei Moshe writes and that the Rama quotes, that our Sheila Shalom is not a real Sheila Shalom, allows for us to be Shoel Bishlomo so long as it's not a violation of him socializing. And that violation of socializing is only within the Shiva. After the Shiva, there's no violation of socializing. In the Debrezina Rav's Tshuvas, in Be'er Moshe Chelek Dalet Simkov Vav, he writes that it's Dafka Asur to say Shalom Aleichem. But to say good Shabbos or good morning or hello, there's no iser, because it has to have the word shalom. And they quote the same from the Chumash Hadeshet. The Ritva in Marikat and Chavzayim and Beis says that Nanuas Rosho is not considered Sheila Shalom. That even if you're acknowledging someone, you shake your head towards someone, that's not called Sheila Shalom, and that is totally permissible. In Ber Hetev, in Tavkof and Dalet Sivkot and Beis, in Archaim, he says Rov Sheila Shalom that we do is just saying good morning, and that's mutter, because that's not Sheila Shalom Mamish. To just say Tzafra Tava is perfectly fine. And Gesher HaChaim says that the Achronim, nevertheless, even though Meikra didn't, it's really fine to say good morning, but since nowadays that's the more common greeting, and no one is really Shoel B'Shalom anymore, so that's taken the place of She'ela Shalom. Meaning, really, strictly speaking, when you don't have the word Shalom, it's not a violation of She'ela Shalom. But because no one ever does real She'ela Shalom anymore, so whatever the common greeting is, takes the place of She'ela Shalom, and we have a minig to be machmir on whatever the common greeting is. So that for that reason, I think the minig has become also not to even say hello, that we don't say hello to Navel, because of, that's become, and the Avel doesn't say hello to us, because that is the common greeting. So the way this actually plays out in halacha, in reality, is very different than the way it appears in the Gemara, in the Shulchan Aruch, because of this svara of the Rama, that we don't do a real Sheila Shalom anymore, so all we're left with is that socializing element of it, and therefore we expand it to any common greeting, but we limit it to only during Shiva. So only during Shiva, that which is a common greeting for somebody, that's what we avoid. The Gesher HaChaim writes that it's also mutter to be mevarich es chaveru with other types of brachos, to wish him arichus yamim and refuah and things like that, and even a mazel tov. We don't find anyone that says that it's also, except for we saw before in the Salmas Chaim that Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld says that it's asur. In the Ezer Mikodesh, in Evin Ezer, Simon Chaf Aleph, he says, even though you're not allowed to be shol b'shlomisha, meaning, let's take a look elsewhere in halacha, where else do we have an isra of Sheila Shalom? Well, there's an isra of Sheila Shalom of an isha. You're not allowed to be shol b'shlom isha. So the Ezer Mikodesh writes, but you're allowed to say mazel tov to an isha, because that's a bracha, it's not a Sheila Shalom. So Mela, says the Ezer Mikodesh, who adin, when it comes to an avel, that even though there's is Nisrav Sheila Shalom, it must be that you're allowed to say Mazel Tov. Sri Deish writes in the Tshuva in Chelek Beis and Kuf Lamed Hey, the common practice in Ashkenaz is that you see an Avel, you grab him by the hand and you give him all sorts of brachas. That we should have simchas and you should, you know, you ever go to a shiva call, that's what people do before they leave. They say the Hamakom and then they add in all sorts of brachas, and it's going to be simchas and it's going to be yishav nachas from the children, and yeah, and then they go through like a whole Megillah of brachas, very often holding the person's hand or giving the person a hug or something like that. So that's become the common practice. In Rav Nassan Gestetner's Tshuvas, in the Tshuvas Lahoros Nassan, Chelek Bey Simin Lamed Zayin, he also holds that it's mutter to say Mazel Tov, even though you're not allowed to say, he holds not to say good morning, because even though good morning is just a bracha, that he should have a nice morning, nevertheless, he says the chilik between Mazel Tov and good morning, he says, is the kivan denoag alma lomer tzafra tova lekol echad, va'af b'li siba miyuchedas. He says people say good morning even if there's no reason to say good morning. They always say good morning. So that's what makes it a she'ela shalom bi'alma. That's what makes it, even though it's on its surface, it looks like a bracha, but no, it's really a she'ela shalom. She'ela shalom is a greeting. Greeting is something you do to anybody anytime, and there doesn't have to be a reason specifically to greet them. You walk down the street and you see somebody, so if it's Shabbos, you say good Shabbos, and if it's a weekday, you say good morning. That's just what you do to any, you know, that's what normal people do when they see other human beings. So that's the definition of she'ela shalom. But Mazel Tov, you don't say, you know, if you're walking down the street and your non-Jewish neighbor is watering his lawn, you don't say congratulations, right? I mean, there's no you don't say Mazel Tov to someone just as a greeting. There has to be a Siba Miyuchedes. There has to be a reason to say Mazel Tov to somebody, and therefore it's a bracha and it's not a She'ela Shalom. So that's Rav Nassim Gestetner. I think that's the common practice, that that people do not say good morning to an Avel during Shiva, but they do say Mazel Tov if there is a Simcha in the family during Shiva. So that's a little bit different than Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld's vart as to why Mazel Tov is okay. He thought it's only okay for a particular simcha when there's a baby boy born in the family, but Rav Nassim Gestetner says, no, it's mutter because it's not She'ela Shalom, it is a bracha. What about Shalom Aleichem by Kiddush Levana? So this is Machlokas HaPoskim, right? The Avil wants to go do Kiddush Levana, so does he say Shalom Aleichem, you know, three times to the people around him? So I saw they quoted Sefer Tshuvas Yeshuos Moshe. I don't know who that is, and I didn't see it inside. Chelek Gimel Simon Sadi Ches, who says that it's aser for an avil during Shiva to tell other people like Kiddush Levana Shalom Aleichem. So L'chora Hu Adin, it's aser for other people to tell him Shalom Aleichem. In Geshar Chaim, he says, yeah, all Yud Beis Chodesh, the Avel should not be saying Shalom Aleichem or Aleichem Shalom during, or have other people say Shalom Aleichem to him during Kiddush Levana. However, in Divrei Sofrim, in Bir Alacha, in the Bir Alacha section of the Sefer Divrei Sofrim, he writes that Nira Demuter Lomar La Avel Shalom Aleichem Ta Tam Shalom Shalom Aleichem Eni Mishum Shel Shalom. Going back to Rav Nassim Gestetner's idea, the Isser of Shel Shalom is a greeting for no reason, just because that's the way you greet people. It doesn't, you know, there's no Siba Miyuchedes for doing it. Well, Dafka by Kiddush Levana, it's not a greeting for no reason. By Kiddush Levana, it's because you just said, Tipa Lalei Meimasav HaFachad, right? You just said this very scary, phrase. So you immediately turn to everybody, no, not you, Shalom Aleichem, right? I want you to be B'Shalom. I'm not wishing upon you any. That's why we do the Shalom Aleichem by Kiddush Levana. So since that's the whole idea of the Shalom Aleichem by Kiddush Levana, Mimela, it's not considered a She'ela Shalom. It's just a way of saying, I'm sorry, I didn't mean anything negative to you. That's how the Magen Avraham explains in Tav Chavav in Aruch Chaim. In Tav Chavav, that's where you have the Dinim of Kiddush Levana. So that's what the Magen Avraham explains, the minhag of Shalom Aleichem. And that's mutter for an avil also. The third possibility, so we have these two extreme possibilities, right? We have the possibility, like the Geshar Chaim, that it's aser to be shalom b'shalom the avil for Yud Beis Chodesh, including Kiddush Levana. Then you have this possibility that, nah, Kiddush Levana is totally mutter because it is, because it's not really She'ela Shalom. Rosham Zalman in Halicha Shlomo, Perek Yud Ches, Halacha Yud Aleph, says that it's mutter for an avil toch shiva to say Kiddush Levana and Shalom Aleichem to those standing around him. But others, better better that they not say Shalom Aleichem to him, meaning he could be Shoel Bishlomam as part of Kiddush Levana, but they should not be Shoel Bishlomo during Kiddush Levana, because he is not Sharoi Bishalom, and it could still look like they're being loeg low, that they are mocking him. Meaning the Svari understand very well that there's a difference between the Isser of him toward others and others toward him. So if he's initiating, it's an issue of socializing. Okay, so he's not really socializing. He's reacting to Tipal Aleim and Masav Afachad. But to say the words Shalom Aleichem to him when you know that he's not Shari B'Shalom is perhaps inappropriate. But in the footnote there, in Alicha Shalom, it says that when it came to Maaser, Shlomo Zalman used to tell people it's fine, that there's no problem. The Gemara goes on to say that after Yud Beis Chodesh for Av V'Imo and after Shloshim for Shar Krovim, you should not be Medaber Tanchumin Elamin Atzad, meaning you shouldn't mention the Shem Hames anymore. You should only speak Beremiza when you're offering him comfort. You know, instead of saying, oh, I heard your dad died, I hope your family should have a nechama from his, you know, and whatever, and say things like that. Instead, you should say, we should always share in simchas, and, you know, say more cheerful things without actually directly mentioning that the mace himself. And the Torah writes that if a person's wife died and he's remarried, then you should not be nichnas lebeso to be medabri motan chumin. But if you're motzei b'shuk, you can say b'safa rafa b'kovid rosh, you can mention something. But to go into his new house, this is always a tricky thing. When someone gets remarried, how you relate exactly to the mention of the first wife. There are many that have the practice that they don't keep pictures of the first wife around the house once they get remarried, because that's going to be, it could be very upsetting, or not upsetting, I don't know what the right word is, but it could psych out the second wife a little bit, that, you know, she could feel a little bit second class, and as long as he's married to her, he has to make her feel comfortable in the house. Obviously, these matters like that are complicated when there are children, but that's, you know, that's a legitimate sensitivity to have, to not make her feel bad. The Ramban writes that if he didn't marry anybody else, then he could be medaber tanchumin until several yom tovim have passed, because he's still misabel aleha, because he hasn't gotten remarried yet. Now, when it comes to she'ela shalom on Shabbos, the Yerushalmi in the second parak of Brachos writes that makom shenagu to be shol b'shlom avelim b'Shabbos, you could be shol b'shlomam. The Rambam in Parak Yud Halacha Aleph says that an avel is nosin shalom l'kol adam, because that's included in Dvarim Shebefar Hesya, if you were to refrain from it. So you could be nosin shalom b'kol adam. I mean, the fact that others are not knowing to be shol b'shlomo on Shabbos could be explained as not being a violation of avelus parasya, because first of all, it's not his niyug avelus; it's how other people are noig toward him. So it's not a niyug avelus for him if other people refrain from being shol b'shlomo, and also, Rav Shlomo Kluger writes in many tshuvas in Ha'elef L'cha Shlomo that there's only an isser to be knowing nihugim of avelus of shiva b'far hasi on Shabbos, but nihugi avelus of shloshim in yud beis chodesh, Rav Shlomo Kluger writes there's no isser of being knowing b'far hasi on Shabbos. So that even if it were a nihug avelus, it could be that it's not a problem on Shabbos anyway, and that's why other people to be shoel b'shlomo, that's not a din in shiva, even though we're knowing that way. But really, the halacha is that's not a din in shiva, that's a din for all Yud Beis Chodesh. So people can do that on Shabbos, but him to be shol b'shlom acherim, that's only a din in shiva. So since that's only a din in shiva, he should not refrain on Shabbos. That's how the Rambam writes in Shulchan Aruch. In Siv Gimel over here, Shulchan Aruch writes, Makom shenagul liyos shalom b'shalom avelim b'Shabbos shalom, because v'ram shavul nosin shalom l'kaladim b'Shabbos shum michal dvarim shabfras. Yet that for other people to be shalom b'shalom is totally a minhag. For him to be shalom b'shalom acherim, he should dafka do it on Shabbos, because otherwise it's avelus b'farhasya. So The Geshar Chaim writes that people generally just try to stay away from him for throughout Shloshim because they want to avoid the issue entirely. I don't know, I've never seen such a practice. In Badei HaShulchan, he just explains, he says, even where there's a place where there is no minog, lo lahakav lo lahachmir, then we should be mekel, to be shol b'shlomo. Because mekel adin, there's no real iser, and in a place where you don't know what the minog is, you could be mekel because safek minog lahakav. You can always be mekel on a suffig minhag. Okay, let's, before we move on to Atifas HaRosh, let's see what the questions are over here. Would this be a reason to not say Shalom Aleichem to an Avodah? Oh, I guess we covered that, right? That was from before? Yeah, okay. Not a single. Why isn't Mazel Tov an issue of Marbereyu? So if you assume like the Kal V'chomer from Shele Shalom to Riboy Dvarim. I don't know how to measure these things. Meaning, Mazel Tov technically is a bracha. It's not a conversation. It's a bracha. So I think being social is the issue. But I'm not sure how to measure but something that's objectively a bracha, I guess, is okay. Gabe, are these rules intended to be chazakos? We assume the person is still being misavel until three regal in the past, or are they intended to be something more absolute? What if I know the avel in front of me is different somehow? I mean, he's still mourning four regalim later. That's a good question. Or the reverse. He had no relationship with his parents, and he wasn't mourning even when he was sitting Shiva. Right? So is it... I think like with most of Hilchos Avelos, you have to say that these are rules based on... everyone follows the majority over here. We don't look at his personal situation. Obviously a person who loses a relative at a very young age in a very tragic way is going to be different than someone whose 107-year-old mother, died peacefully in her sleep, surrounded by family or whatever, Mises Nashika or something like that. So obviously a person's, what they go through is different, but we don't change Hilchos Avelos. I think Shela Shalom is just, it's more an existential kind of lack of Shalom. I don't think it's totally on each and every person. Okay, so next Nihug, Atifas HaRosh. The Gemara Tes Vav, again, that same Braisa, that an Avel is Chayv b'Atifas HaRosh, because Kadosh Baruch Hu told Yecheskel v'lo satal safa, meaning you shouldn't do an atifa like the derech avelim is, like the derech avelim is to do. So he told him not to be noheg such a din in dinei avelus. So in Shin Pei Vav, the Shulchan Aruch writes that a person should cover his head with a talis, sheichas rosha betalis obesudar v'yachzor k'tzaso al piv v'al rosha chotam, but it shouldn't cover his mouth entirely. He should leave his mouth and the tip of his nose exposed. But that's only when there aren't Menachemim there. But when Menachemim come, he should be Megala Rosho for the in honor of the Menachemim. Now, Bizman Azel, Beis Yosef quotes from Agos Memonios Perik Hei Os Ayin that we're not knowing with this Atifa anymore because it would be maybe Lide Schok. Minagoyim and Avadim and Shvachos Shebeinenu. So we're not knowing this anymore, and that's what the Rama writes. V'yashar Moshe Nogin Mimedinus Eilu Ba'atifa Ba'atifa V'cheina Minag Pashut V'ein Lahachmi L'shanas V'mashal Nogu Avoseinu. So the Rama says we don't do it anymore. Rama doesn't explain why, but that's what the Beis Yosef quotes from Golos Maimonios, because it will make a mockery of us that people will make fun, that it looks ridiculous. And Beis Yosef says, I don't understand why that's a problem. I mean, it looks ridiculous to wave a palm branch, for a week out of the year also, but it doesn't stop us from doing what we're supposed to do. So that should be a problem, Beis Yosef writes. Lorina v'lo shamanu, misha patr me'atifa m'nei tayna zu, says the Beis Yosef. Darkei Moshe says, but the minhag pashut is that we don't do atifa anymore. And that's what comes out on the page in Shulchan Aruch. Now, we're not knowing anymore, and we shouldn't do these extra chumras, we shouldn't do practices that we didn't see by earlier generations. It is a little bit strange, though, that all of a sudden we're concerned about the schok of the umos and what they're going to say because we dress ridiculously. We dress ridiculously all the time. I mean, we're not worried. Wearing a yarmulke is also a ridiculous dress by social standards. So why do we care so much? So Badei HaShulchan writes, he says that... that since the whole inyan of Avelus is Mishum Kavara Meis or Mishum Kavara Mishpacha, and the Atifa is going to be a schok and a lag, so that's not a cover, that's a zilzal. Meaning anything that's going to take away from the cover of the Mishpacha, the cover of the Meis, flies in the face of the whole purpose of Avelus. Okay, I don't know if it really... You gotta say something. I don't know why Dafka by Atifa Sarosh all of a sudden we became so concerned with what everybody's going to think. There must be more there. Something historical about Atifa and what it represented, and more than a regular, the Jews are so silly. I don't know. The Bach, the Shach, and the Taz, all quote from the Rokeach, that nowadays we still do some form of Atifa. We should do an Atifa Ktsas. So what does that mean? To take the hat and lower it in front of our eyes, Kol Shiva. So the Aruch HaShulchan says that it's appropriate for the Avel not to remove his hat throughout Shiva, and to sit in that way with his hat on throughout the Shiva. So it's interesting that in Geshra Chaim, in Chachmas Adam, in Yalkut Yosef, all the later Achronim, even in Chachmas Adam, they don't mention this. So Pashtus is that they didn't even have that minhag of putting on the hat and lowering it over the eyes. In the Sefer Tziyunei Halacha, he said that Rav Eliashiv pointed out that a lot of people are unaware of this din, and they sit only with the yarmulke during Shiva, and the Rav Eliashiv thought it's shaloka din, that you need to wear your hat and lower your hat a little bit over your eyes. And they asked him, what if you never wear a hat? So he said, borrow one. Meaning this is a din, a dinei avelus, that a person should have an atifas harosh. So they asked Rav Eliashiv all day, should you sit like that? He says, only when there are menachemim there, which is fascinating, because Dafka the Shulchan Aruch said that the real din of Atifas HaRosh is only when there are no menachemim there, right? That when there are menachemim there, you have to talk to them. So you pick up the atifa in order to be able to talk to them. But this watered down version of atifa is apparently only when there are menachemim there. So that's Atifas HaRosh. Let's see what the questions are over here. In the Sefer Minchas Eliyahu, that's Minchas Eliyahu, is it Mordechai Eliyahu?
It's Rav Eliyahu Tzadok.
Oh, Rav Eliyahu Tzadok. Yeah. Who's that?
He's a Rebbe in the Tivari.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
So it states that Tei Manim still have the minhag nowadays to do real Atifas HaRosh. Like Mamish? Like all the... Okay.
They still do, yeah.
All right. Do women need Atifas HaRosh? I don't know. Anyone know? Anyone say anything explicit about women in Atifas HaRosh? I don't know. I think in many circles it is common practice that people wear a hat and they dafka wear it low during Shiva. I'm trying to remember when Rav Shachter was sitting Shiva if he did that. I don't remember. I can't recall if anyone knows. Yeah, women's hair should be covered anyway, but Atifas HaRosh involves more than that. It's like, especially what the Shach is quoting over here, that it's a lowering of the hat over the eyes a little bit, that it's, I'm not sure. And unmarried girls also don't have to cover their hair, right? So I don't know. If anyone sees anything, let me know. I'm sure somebody here will come, will see something, or someone who listens online or something will let me know. I don't know why not. Maybe that's just dafka din that men do. I don't know. I don't know. In the Gemara, it sounds like when we talk about Tifas I don't know. I mean, what's the inyan of Tifas HaRosh? You know, Tifas HaRosh is a sense of anivus, no? Right? That's generally what Tifas HaRosh signifies. So the charut should apply to everybody, right? I don't know. Kfiyas Amita. So let's get into Kfiyas Amita. The Gemara in Daf Chav Zayin, the Gemara in Daf Chav Zayin Amar Aleph tells us that there's a machlokas when we do Kfiyas Amita. Rabbi Lazar says Mishiyatza Mipesach Beisun. Rabbi Yeshua says Mishanista Magolal. So the Rosh in Siman Ayin Ches says we pass like Rabbi Yeshua that all Avelus only begins Mishiyista Magolal. The Gemara says that do you have to be kofa the mita of the Avel himself, you have to be kofa all the mitos that are in the house. So there's machlokas, the Ravid Ramban about the details over here. The Ravid holds that he even has to be kofa mitas ishto banav, but not the mitos of the guests in the house. When the Ramban says, even the mitos of the achsanoim, you need to be kofa. The Rosh in Siman Ayin Ches says that it's mistaver like the Ravid, that are not the guests. And the Rosh says from Evel Rabasi that if he's nachsanya by someone else and he's libo gaspel, he's comfortable enough there, he should be kofa as mita even if he's in someone else's house. But if he's not comfortable to do that in someone else's house, then he should not be kofa the mita. The Gemara says that there's zokef the mitos on Erev Shabbos min amincha l'mayla, and it's just that they don't sit on them until Shabbos actually begins. And you have to go and be kofa again on Motzai Shabbos. And the Gemara says that a mita that's miuchedas l'kelim, that's not meant for human beings to go on, does not require kfiya. So the Rush in Simin Ayin Ches says that if you are not kofa the mita and you just sleep on the ground, you're not yotzei. That it's dafka akiyum in kfiyas amita. It's not only that you're not allowed to sleep on a bed that's eino kfuya, you have to actually do kfiyas amita. But if you are kofa the mita and then you sleep on the ground, that's fine. You don't have to actually sleep on a mita that, you know, the din is to do kfiyas amita, not to sleep on a bed that had kfiyas amita. The Rambam in Perek Dalet Halacha Tes disagrees. He holds you're not yotze unless you actually sleep on the bed in such a way where kfiyas amita was done. And he quotes from the Evel Rabasi that if you have five mitos in five houses and you use all of them, then you need to be kofa all of them. So the Rosh over there quotes a Yerushalmi that someone who lives in a pundak is not chayiv in kfiyas amita because they shouldn't think that he's a mechashev, right? Just like you have by the sugyas of bedikas chametz, that you don't want to be doing something where that people will accuse you of kishuv. So if he's living in, if he's by an inn, he's somewhere else, that he shouldn't draw such accusations. So the Rosh says, and that's why Bnei Ashkenaz and Tsarfas are so mech nowadays to no longer do kfiyas amita, because we are darim ben anachrin, we live among the Gaim nowadays, and they're always around, and this is another one of the practices of Avelus, the second one for today, that is influenced by our neighbors, that's influenced by the fact that there are Gaim around us. That's what the Rosh writes. And then he says, but the Ritzba gives a different reason, that the mitos that they used to have, the tops of the bed didn't protrude out like ours do, and the kfiya would be nicker. But our mitos are made in such a way where if you're kofa the mita, it wouldn't even be nicker. So when he, you know, translating that to our times would mean the following. What are you going to be kofa? What are you going to turn upside down? So you're going to turn the entire bed frame upside down, it then becomes unusable. It's not like slightly less comfortable. It's unusable when you turn the whole thing upside down. So what, you're going to turn the mattress upside down? I think you're supposed to do that anyway. Every once in a while, you're supposed to rotate the mattress. You're supposed to say it doesn't change anything at all in terms of the comfort level, in terms of how it's used. So the whole inyan of kfiyas amita doesn't work with our beds. So that's, so again, the Rush gives two reasons why we don't do kfiyas amita anymore. One is that the Gayim are going to think we're doing kishuv, and the second is that it just doesn't work for our beds. Beis Yosef quotes Rabbeinu Yeruchim that b'kol ha'makomos they're mahapech the kar or keset, as a remise to this, even though the chacham were only talking about a mita shel eitz v'shel chavalim, but if you could somehow invert your covers or something like that, Beis Yosef writes in the name of the Rivash as well, that's what you should do. In Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch just says that nowadays we're not knowing the Kfiyas Amita because of the two reasons that we mentioned, and he doesn't mention anything about the Karim Uksasos, although Rabbi Kiva Eger does quote it, right? Rabbi Kiva Eger, on the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch, does say Mikal Makom Roy LaHapicha Karva Keses, quoting the Beis Yosef B'Shem Rabbeinu Yeruchim. So it makes it onto the page of Shulchan Aruch. I don't think people do that though. I think people just do what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that we don't do Kfiyas Amita anymore. So why are we even learning about it if we don't do Kfiyas Amita anymore? So well, first of all, it's here in Shulchan Aruch, so we got to mention it at least. But also it may have ramifications LaHalacha. In the Pnei Baruch in Simin Yud Zayin Oz Beis, he quotes Mavri Yabok Daf Kufay and Tes, that there are those that are knowing at least to be kofa the mita of the niftar, that bed is not going to be in use, so they turn over the mita of the niftar. What's the idea of kfiyas amita? It's based on That I've given my Tzelem Elokim to mankind, and through their Averos, they have inverted the Tzelem Elokim. And the image of the representation of the Tzelem Elokim is the Mita, because the Mita is where the Tzelem Elokim is created, right? It's where Tashmish HaMita happens, and therefore the Tzelem Elokim is created. So Dafka, by being Kofa the Mita, we're showing that we've misused the Tzelem Elokim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us. And then Perei Baruch quotes from Sefer Meshmer HaShalom that nowadays we don't see anyone being knowing this way at all. They just cover the Mita of the Mace, and they're not, they don't put on new sheets on the Mita of the Mace throughout Shiva in order to be makir, the makom that the nifter was, but not an actual kviyas amita. Rav Shachta told me that Rav Salvechik thought that the kiyum of kviyas amita nowadays is in covering the mirrors, because you don't find anywhere in Shulchan Aruch they have to cover mirrors. So where does it come from to cover the mirrors? So he thought that what's the whole vart of kviyas amita? Like we said, so that which represents the tzelem elokim should be inverted or covered or something. So since we can't do kviyas amita anymore, because it doesn't make sense for our mitos anymore, so we should do something that's a reminder of at least the same inyan of kviyas amita. So what represents the human image? So nowadays the most logical representation of a human image is a mirror, because that's where you see your own image, and therefore you should cover the mirrors in the house based on kviyas amita. Not everyone says that's the reason to cover the mirrors. I'm meaning based on Rav Salvechik, it would turn out that you should cover the pictures also. You shouldn't use you should cover any pictures hanging on the wall, and you shouldn't be showing pictures in the house, because it's also showing the human image, in a non-live human image, a representation of the human image. And most of the time you go to a Beis Avel, they usually, the Avelim have like three or four go-to pictures that they keep next to them to show around. Oh, this was the wedding picture of my mother and father, and this was back in Europe, or this was, and they have pictures that they're showing. This was the yearbook. I was at a Beis Avel recently. They had a Torah Vidas yearbook from 19 and they were showing it around. It was like interesting to see like a who's who in the Jewish world that graduated Torah Vidas 50 something years ago. So but that's what people do. They're always showing around. They're always showing around pictures. So, but that's not the only explanation for why we cover the mirrors. In the Chassam Sofer, is I think the most famous explanation is similar to what the Rav said. The Chassam Sofer in Drashos Chassam Sofer Chelik Beis, page Shin Pei Zayin, says that just like we're kofa the mitzvah on the Beis HaAvel, because it's the sirsur bein ish le'ishto, so a mirror is the sirsur bein ish le'ishto as well. The Maros HaTzovos, mirrors were representative of that which brought about man to be together with wife in Mitzrayim, and therefore it's, in that sense it represents the same thing the bed represents. And according to that, l'chor, it should be all of the mirrors in the entire house, just like kviyas hamita is like all the mitos shebebayis of covering the mirrors is actually a kiyum of that. It should be every mirror. There are other explanations. So one of the other explanations, they say that it's a chashash that maybe the oval will come to be mekashet miyafos asatzma, that it'll try to, mirrors also represent a certain sense of vanity. That's why the halacha is in Shulchan Aruch, strictly speaking, that men aren't supposed to look in a mirror, because it's a woman's thing to do. Nowadays men do as well, but it used to be that was the assumption, that a man should never look in a mirror, because it's more of a vain kind of thing. And Avil shouldn't be doing that. So l'chora, that should be any mirror that the Avil is going to use. But other mirrors in the house that the Avil doesn't have access to, there would be no reason to cover if it's based on that. The Kolbo in Avelus writes that the reason is because it's Gorim Simcha. So also l'chora, wherever the Avil is going to use it. In some of the Achronim say that they cover the mirrors in the Beis HaAvel because they daven in the Beis HaAvel. So you're not allowed to daven in front of a mirror. So normally shuls aren't outfitted with mirrors anyway, because it's meant to be used as a shul. But a house is meant to be used as a house, not meant to be used as a shul. So there are mirrors all over the place, so they got to cover the mirrors so that people shouldn't be davening in front of a mirror. L'chora, that should only be then the mirrors in the rooms that they're davening in. It shouldn't apply to other places. Certainly should not apply to the mirrors in the bathrooms, because it's not even eligible for davening. So, okay, it's unclear exactly where that minhag comes from, but it is like one of the more universally recognized minhagim of a Beis Avel. In Shmir Shabbos Kilchsa, in Perek Samech Hei, Siv Ches, he says that on Shabbos you should uncover the mirrors because it would be Avelis Befarhesia. Probably also because if it's based on Kfiyas Amita and the Halacha Mufreshes, that by Kfiyas Amita, that comes Shabbos and you undo the Kfiyas Amita. So it's probably a similar idea. That is as far as Kfiyas Amita. Oh, no, one more thing about Kfiyas Amita. Another thing that emerges from Kfiyas Amita, what's the other most obvious thing about being in a Beis Avel is that the Avelim are all sitting on low chairs. That doesn't make it into the Braisa of one of the things that the Nihuge Avel said an Avel does. So Tosos Moy Katan Dav Chav Zayin writes that Mikan Samchu, based on Kfiyas Amita, there's Somech that he shouldn't, they come up with the din that an Avel doesn't sit on a Kisei V'Savsa. So he says, even though there's no Raya Gemura, because Amita is different since it requires Kfiyah, and we don't find kfiya by a kisei v'safsal, but he shouldn't sit on a kisei v'safsal. And that's what the Beis Yosef quotes, that's where we get the idea that an avil doesn't sit on a regular chair. The Ramban in Torah Sa'adam says that the whole din of a mita kfuya is only b'shashen of achila. But kalayom, he doesn't sit even on a mita kfuya. Meaning kalayom, the avil has to sit al gabi karka, and the menachmim also should be yoshev al gabi karka. They come to be menachim, him, everyone should be sitting al gabi karka. So the Shach and the Taz says that, yeah, but the Avil could be mochel that, meaning he could be mochel other people sitting on the ground, and that's the minhag. The minhag is that the Avil is mochel. That strictly speaking, anyone who's participating in the moment of Avelus, in the Nichum Avelim, should be sitting on the ground, but the minhag is that people are mochel b'zman hazeh. They also write, Shach and Taz also write, that it's not that he has to sit, he could stand the whole time, unless there are menachmin with him, then he has to sit on the karka, but otherwise the Avil doesn't have to be sitting on the ground all day, he could be walking around the house, he's just not allowed to sit on a regular chair. And he says, but if an Avil is a zakein or a chalash, then he could sit on a cushion or something, because certainly he shouldn't be doing something that's overly burdensome for him. The Aruch HaShulchan in Siv Gimel brings a raya from Yerushalmi in the third parak of Brachos that he could sit on something that's samach lekarka. It doesn't need to be karka mamish. He doesn't have to be sitting on the ground itself. He could be elevated somewhat. There are different minhagim as to how high it could be elevated. The common practice is that no more than 3 tfachim. That's the common practice. And that's what the minhagim svarim write. The Rav Shachter quoted from Rav Salvechik that it could be even more than 3 tvachim. It just shouldn't be a normal chair. It should be obvious that it's not a normal chair. Because that's the whole idea, is that, like Kfiyas Amita, that it should be recognizable that something is off, that something is different. However, others are makbid, Geshra Chaim quotes that others are mahader, not even to be within a tefach, more than a tefach off of the ground. Din of Kfiyas Amita. One more detail, the Shach says that a novel is not allowed to sleep on a Mita. Pischei Tshuva says that Poskim are Cholik on that and are Matir sleeping on a Mita. And the Aruch HaShulchan says that the Minhag is to be Mekel about sleeping on a Mita. So that's as far as Kfiyas HaMita. We have time for maybe one more. Let's do one more Nihug, and then we'll try to finish it up on Thursday. One more Nihug of Avelus is, I don't know if we're going to finish on Thursday. Between Thursday and Sunday, we'll try to finish up. But one more Nihug of Avelus for today, the Isra of Hanachas Tfilin. The Gemara in Daf Tes Vav Amin Aleph and Avil Zasser B'Tfilin. Rashi writes in Maseches Sukkah and Daf Chaf Hei that it's from Yecheskel that Kodesh Baruch Hu says Perecha Chavish Alecha, that you should wear Tfilin even though normally an Avil doesn't, and Tfilin is considered a Pe'er, and Avil is Lav Bar Pe'er Hu. That it's not right for an Avil, it's a Niyug of Avelus, not to be wearing a Pe'er, not to be wearing some special adornment, something like that. In the Chuvus Har Tzvi, Yerdeus and Reish Sadi Beis, Rav Pesach Frank was asked, okay, that explains the Shal Rosh. What about the Shal Yad? The Shal Yad is not a Pe'er, so he says, because of a Hayu, we darshan that Bizman Shem Aleim, that they should both be Alecha, that you should have both Tefillin on. So if you're not going to have one, you're not going to have the other. Even though that's not entirely true, meaning that drasha that you're supposed to have them both on is when you have access to both of them. Let's say a person only has a shaliyad, and he doesn't have a shal rosh. So the halacha is certainly he should put on the shaliyad. We don't say that he shouldn't put on a shal rosh. So if see Pesach Frank dons on that issue, you got to look over there, and he discusses, he leaves it as a tzarchin a little bit, actually. In Ksubas Davav, Rashi gives a little bit of a different reason. Rashi says that the reason for the Yisra of an Avil wearing tefillin is because an Avil is Mu'ulal Ba'ofer Karno, Rosh, the Ein Zeh Pe'er L'Tfilin, that tefillin have to be worn in a derech that is Pe'er, and an Avil is not in a state to properly treat the tefillin because he's Mu'ulal Ba'ofer Karno. Sounds like it's not a din in Yehuge Avelos, it's a din in Kavod Tefillin. So two different Rashis. Rashi in Sukkah sounds like it's a din in Ihuge Avelos. Rashi in Ksuba sounds like it's a din in Kavod HaTefillin. The Levush gives a different reason. Levush in Orachaim Simlan Uches says that no, he's going to be Mesiach Das from the Tefillin. And you're not allowed to have Hesach Hadas in the Tefillin, but he's going to be focused on the Avelos all day. So it's going to cause a Hesach Hadas in the Tefillin. That's a Chiddush. That's a big Chiddush. What exactly is the Yisra of Hesach Hadas from Tefillin? Does that mean that you're not allowed to think about anything else other than Tefillin when you're wearing Tefillin? Hard to imagine. They used to wear Tefillin all day. They would do business wearing their Tefillin. So yeah, there'd be Memashmish B'Tefillah of Kol Shah. They'd always be touching their Tefillin to remind them that they were there. But it's hard to imagine. They never thought about anything else other than Tefillin. Pashtus Hesach Hadas relates to inappropriate kinds of thoughts when one is wearing tefillin. So an avel lechora is not a violation to be thinking about his avelus is not a violation of Hesach Hadas. I discussed this a little bit in my first sefer about wearing tefillin all day and wearing tefillin b'shas mincha and why it is that we don't wear a tefillin. That there's nisra of kalas rosh in the tefillin, is that the same as Hesach Hadas from the tefillin? Okay, so that's a discussion in the Achronim. You see, the Levush very clearly thinks that even just being knowing the Avel, just being engaged in the Avelus, might be a Hesach Hadas. Those are three reasons not to wear tefillin. The tricky part of the halacha about tefillin is the timing of it, is when exactly do you not wear tefillin. The Gemara Daf Chaf Aleph quotes Machlokas Tanayim, that Rabbi Eliezer holds that the first 2 days, Shnei Yom Marishonim, and then you don't wear tefillin, then the third day you do. And even if Panim Chadashos come on the third day, you don't have to take them off. And Rabbi Shua holds that it's Asr for the first 2 days, and on it's Asr the first 2 days, but on the second day, once Miktsas Hayom passes, it's already Mutter to put on the tefillin. So if Panim Chadashos come on Yom Sheni, though, then you need to take them off. So again, two days. Either that for 2 days, no matter what, you don't put on tefillin, or a day and change, you don't put on tefillin. But even on the second day that you do put on tefillin, if Panim Chadashos come, then you need to remove the tefillin. So we pass in the Gemara that Halacha Krabi Eliezer B'Chalitza Krabi Yeshua Ba'Anacha, which means that if Panim Chadashos come on the second day, there's a Machlokas Amorayim if you need to be Choletz. Ula says you're Choletz, Rava says you're not Choletz. But the Rosh and Simulam Zayin paskins that we're not Choletz. So it comes out that an Avil does not put on tefillin on Yom Rishon. First day he comes back from the cemetery and davens mincha, he does not put on tefillin, even though he has not put on tefillin yet that day. Yom Rishon does not put on tefillin. Yom Sheni, he does put on tefillin a few minutes after Neitzachama, because he needs a Miktsas Hayom. And when Panim Chadashos come, when new people come that he hasn't seen, he's not choletz the tefillin. But if he did not put on the tefillin until Panim Chadashos have already come, then he does not put on the tefillin in front of the Panim Chadashos, because you don't put on tefillin in front of Panim Chadashos, you just don't have to be choletz when they come. So when I remember when my father-in-law sat Shiva many years ago, when I was engaged to my wife, so I remember I asked Rav Shechter at the time if there are any practices in Beis Avel that people are not familiar with that we should be makbid about, and he said, yeah, on the second, so one of the things he said is about being mitzarif to a minyan, making sure that 10 people are in a single room and that you don't have like 7 people in one room and 5 people in another room, because you need a minyan in a single room, and then people in the other rooms can be mitzarif if they see into that room, but you need a minyan in one room. And the other thing he said is this, he said a lot of times the avil will, they'll open the door in the morning and everyone on the second day of avil, the day after the levaya, and whoever's coming for the minyan will come in, and a lot of people who have not been at the levaya, so their panim chadashos, will come into the house, and then the Avil will put on his tefillin, and that's not right. He should put on his tefillin before he opens the door for people to come in, because then when they're upon him chadashos, they don't have to remove the tefillin. So that's what Rav Shechter suggested. That was the etzah that he gave. Now, the Pischei Tshuva, the Shach and the Taz, all quote a machlokas if he should put on tefillin on the day of a Shmua Krova, meaning if the Kavura was not on the Yom HaMisa, or the Avelus, his first day of Avelus was not on the Yom HaMisa. He hears about it later. So do you say that it's still the first day of Avelus, you still don't put on tefillin? So the Aruch HaShulchan Sif Beis says that you don't put on tefillin B'Yom HaKavura or on the day of a Shmua Krova, unlike the Yesh Misha Cholik Bazeh, that first day of Avelus, even so, even if it's not the day of the Petira, that you still don't put on tefillin. I think that is the minhag, that when people come back from the cemetery, I think typically they do not put on tefillin. I think, though, that on day two, people are a little more makil about putting on tefillin, even in front of Panim Chadashos, when the Yom Misa and Yom Kvura were not the same day. Because then you have a tziruf, right? You have the fact that it's... that maybe anyway, the whole din doesn't apply when the Yom HaMisa and Yom HaKavura was not the same day, so it's not really day two anyway, and you know that there is a chiyuv of tefillin on day two, so just they don't refrain from putting on in front of Panim Chadashos. I think that's the common practice. The Rav Shlomo Zalman is quoted as saying that the minhag Yerushalayim is that they put on tefillin without a bracha unless the Yom HaMisa was Shabbos, and then they don't put on tefillin at all. Meaning whenever it's Yom HaMisa and Yom Kavura, not the same day, then the minhag Yerushalayim is that they would put on tefillin dafka without a bracha. Can we go like three more minutes over here, try to finish up tefillin, just to get, yeah, I mean, can leave, but all right. So the tefillin Rabbeinu Tam, the Aruch HaShulchan writes that shouldn't be put on for all shiva. That which they quote from the Arizal to put it on, he says lav mar baravashi chasmala. He doesn't think that's a reliable psak of the Arizal. In the Chidah in Berkei Yosef, he says that the Marei Razin disagree about this. Meaning those who are involved in Nistar disagree about this, and Shevi Al Tasa Adif says Lechida not to put on tefillin to Rabbeinu Tam during Shiva. And Yalkut Yosef, he quotes from Rav Avadya in many places in the Tshuvas, many places in Yabia Omer, that the Shita of the Rashash is to put them on Dafka for those who do Mishum Sveka Dedina, that they should do it if they really believe that might be the way to Paskin. But those who are put on tefillin to Rabbeinu Tam Bimei Evlam, they should be careful not to do it in front of Panim Chadashos on the second day. They should, that dafka, that they're very careful to put it on in a separate room, than the room that they daven in. Avi Berman, you're here. What's Chabad Minag, do you know, during Shiva and Tefillin Rabbeinu Tam?
To be honest, I'm not 100% sure. I don't know. I could try to find out.
Please do. Let me know. Okay. All right. The chassan, the Geshur HaChaim writes that a chassan shemes lo meis during the Shivas Yemei HaMishnah, where the Avelus is not chal, should vaday put on tefillin. And not only according to the Magen Avraham that an Avel on Chol HaMoed is maniach tefillin b'yom rishon, but even according to the Shavuos Yaakov that on Chol HaMoed you don't put on tefillin because al kol panim is mu'ulol ba'afar karno, but a chassan is different because he's not allowed to be mu'ulol ba'afar karno, is verosho. So he needs to put on tefillin. He has to be engaged in simcha. So he needs to be miyasiv daite, he needs to calm down and to put on tefillin. The Ramban in Torah Sodom says that the Avel has to be miyashiv daito before he puts on tefillin to make sure not to have a hesach hadas, right? That's probably what the Levush is based on. But b'shas hesped ubechi, he shouldn't put on the tefillin, meaning he shouldn't get carried away in the tefillin. That's probably what the Levush meant by the hesach hadas anyway. That if an Avel is getting too carried away, he's getting too emotional, so that's not right in the tefillin. So in Shulchan Aruch, in Shin Pei Ches, Siv Beis, that's exactly what Shulchan Aruch writes. Mi boi leilo avil yisuvei daitei, l'chavni bei letfilin shalei yisiech daitei mehem. Al b'shars hespid u'bechi lo, lo manachlu, that during the time of hespid and bechi, he should not be wearing tefillin. So that's what we got for tefillin. Let's see what's posted in the chat here. Why does he remove the tefillin for Panim Chadashos? Yeah, what's the svara? Why panim chadashos? That he doesn't remove them; he just doesn't put them on in front of panim chadashos. He just doesn't put them on. I guess they've never seen him being mu'lul ba'a for a cardinal or something like that. You have to say, I don't know. I'm not sure. Okay, so Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow no shir, but on Thursday, kibbutz and giyutz and tisporas, and you know, we're plowing through all of these simanim, simcha and simchas mreyos, all of these different halachas. Be'ez Hashem will try to get through as many of them as we can on Thursday, and we'll probably finish up this cluster of simanim about nihugei avelus on Sunday. All right, everyone should have a great day. You know what?